Welcome to the Annie Jennings PR Teleseminar Series. My wonderful guest today is innovator and social media expert Lon Safko. Lon is the author of the new bestseller by John Wiley & Sons, The Social Media Bible, Tactics, Tools, and Strategies for Business Success. We're very pleased to have Lon with us today as the social media revolution marches on. We've got the man who wrote the book with us today. Welcome, Lon.
Well, thank you. I love being here. Thank you.
Wonderful to have you. And we wanted to talk a little bit today about do's and don'ts of social media as we are experiencing them today. One thing that is certain is that things change very quickly, very rapidly in all worlds internet, and actually across the country at this point in time, we are experiencing rapid change. So, therefore, social media does change. An idea comes to marketplace, people use it, they tweak it, it becomes better, it becomes worse in some ways. So, why don't we talk about the do's and the don'ts and where we are in social media with what seems to be working for various strategies. So, Lon, if you want to give us an overview, what is the purpose, in your opinion, of social media for business?
Social media for business is really an extension of conventional media, but it's using new tools. I mean, social means communicating with your customers and your prospects, and the media just means using these new tools to do it. The most important differentiation between conventional media that we've used over the last 100 years and the new social media is this idea of building trust with your audience. Commercials don't necessarily build trust, but being part of a like-minded, trusted network or social network, having people voluntarily follow you on Twitter, builds trust. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest change.
I love that point. That is an excellent point, building trust. That's terrific. Now, it's an expanding marketplace, as you know. As we speak right now, Twitter probably has more, obviously more members than ever before. However, Facebook, what do you project as the rise of Twitter and the fall of Twitter? And I know that's just a tough question. And the rise of Facebook and the quite possibly the reported sort of fall of Facebook. Why would this happen?
Well, I think the report of Facebook's death is greatly exaggerated, to quote Mark Twain. In any technology, I mean, I've been lucky enough to be around since the beginning of computer technology in the 70s. There's evolution. Things kind of evolve. And good ideas, as you said, some get better, some get worse, some disappear. And let's take Twitter, for example. It does have a tremendous following, and it's getting a lot of great press, and people are using it. Now, that's the good news, and more people are becoming aware and signing up. The bad side, of course, is that Twitter has gone really commercial. Every time I click on a follower, the first message I get from them, if you want to earn more money, click here. If
That's
you
right.
want to get more followers.
It's become, to speak honestly, it's sort of almost a spamming situation.
Perfect. That's right. Just like email. When email first came out, we all used it in the purest sense of communicating with one another, and then somebody figured out how to use it for business through spam. Now, what's the next logical step? Well, I think history repeats itself. If we look at what happened to the 2004 Canned Spam Act and the way we've cleaned up the internet from all of those websites that you don't want your kids looking at and pills that make certain parts of you larger, they're no longer in our email. And I think that same thing is going to start to apply to some of the other technologies such as Twitter. There will be some type of a spam filter, I'm sure, and we'll get it back to a more pure state.
I just find it very interesting to see how quickly it became to this is all about me technology rather than relationship building. So let's go over some of the real benefits of a social media network, one of which, as you mentioned earlier, is relationship trust building, and how critical that is. And maybe we can talk about how to do that without the, this is all about me, please buy my product, right? Gets you nowhere, right?
Yeah.
So trust building is a strong outcome or deliverable of using a social media model. Social media model is, of course, you're able to communicate with your followers or people in your group or your network on sort of a real level. I mean, you don't have to, you're not on TV where you have to give sound bites. You're not on radio where you have to get into a conversation with the host. You're like a real person talking about your thoughts, feelings, and opinions, or business tips to help your followers be better at what they do. I think that's my idea of a social media, and what it should be used for.
Yeah, that's really well put. And as consumers, we're bombarded with hundreds and hundreds of advertisements every single day, whether it's TV or it's radio or a magazine or billboards. And we have a tendency now to understand that, first of all, we're tuning them out. That's why TiVo is so important. And when you're watching TV, I'm glad there's commercials because it gives me a chance to go either to the refrigerator or to the bathroom. So
you're so funny. It's true, though. Yeah, a little commercial break is handy every now and then.
Yeah, they're not commercial breaks, they're bio breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm cool with that. Well, and the reason that we're getting smarter to this is that, you know, if you're going to do a radio commercial, you're going to put $25,000 into producing and distributing it. If you're going to regionally, if you're going to do a television commercial, you're going to spend $50,000 to $250,000 just producing it, and then you have the media buy on top of it. Well, when you spend $250,000, you have a hidden agenda.
Yeah.
You have a message. You're trying to get the person you're exposing that to do something that's
mm-hmm.
going to benefit you, and we all know that. And the beautiful part about social media, and I'm talking all of social media, it's 100% free. Distribution is free, but you can still get to the same numbers of people that we can with conventional media, but there's no cost associated. So for the first time in history, we've got the opportunity to be transparent, authentic, and sincere, and communicate, two-way communication, which also is completely different than conventional media, because up until now we pontificated our messages, one-way communication. We told them what we wanted them to know, but now we're actually asking them what they want to hear, and that's a huge difference.
Although, is anyone listening? And I ask that because of this. Seriously, let me ask you your personal usage of social media. When you follow, and I'm not sure how many people you're following. Are you following?
1,300.
1,600,
yeah.
Oh, 1,600 you're following. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you follow the communication from 1,600 followers or that you're following? How do you really get into their conversation? Have you been able to successfully engage using social media? Curious,
that's a great
right?
question. Yeah, and not all 1,600, there's no doubt. It's like when you send out an email blast, really, how many people are really going to read that email that you're...
That's right.
...that is very effective to that small... Well, it's a small percentage
mm-hmm.
that you can actually get to. And Twitter is the same way. There could be 16... I follow 1,600 people, about 1,600 follow me. Well, most of those, unfortunately, are spammers. I don't know what percentage, but a huge percentage of that only signed up to follow me because I would follow them so that they can spam me. But you know what? That's okay because there are sincere people in there that are looking for the what's in it for me message. And as long as I have no cost associated with blasting to 60, 600, or 1,600, it doesn't matter because I'll still get to the audience that's actually following me.
Right. And you know what I think now is looking at this whole thing develop, I think that people should try to only follow, not go for numbers because it's going to be one big spam bazaar. Okay, so forget about
mm-hmm.
going for
yes.
huge numbers following you. It's meaningless. Okay? If you send out a million spam emails, you get nothing. Just a million spam emails. So we don't care about that. I would say, why don't we build communities now? We start over, right? Start from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And build communities. And we follow only people we're willing to read their... We're willing to follow them and read what they tweet. And if it's nothing but a sales, we remove ourselves from their list. And then this way, we get to, like, really start to form communities of value. I know that,
excellent.
You know, utopia, but I say, why don't we do that?
Well, you know what? I completely agree with it. And when I consult with companies, I say just that, and individuals as well. I mean, I consult from entrepreneurs right up to Fortune 500s, and what I say is create personas. In our email, for example, you have an email that's guarded. You have one that you don't go online and sign up for things and use that email. You're kind of cavalier with it. Then you have your safe sex email, where you only give out that email to people that you trust.
Sure, so anything that goes to your BlackBerry.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
Your BlackBerry
email.
Yeah.
Well, what if we did the same thing with Twitter? Just set up a persona where you can follow 1,600 people who really don't care.
All right.
But then you had another persona or another address that you communicated with the people that you trust.
And then that one, you really tried to build a community. You almost had this code of ethics involved in that one, where I'm only going to tweet things that can empower you, and please only tweet to me things that can empower me. And then we see
if
we can really get a sharing model.
Yes. And if I follow you and you spam me, I'm immediately going to unfollow you.
You really should. I mean, because people have to learn the difference. People think they're marketing. Because the initial strategy with social media was, okay, everybody, you know, start a little conversation, but end it on your blog. You know, give them the link, so like start talking, you know, and your little characters there. But then say, read more at, and then you get the link. People thought that was okay to do. But what happens now, it's so saturated with that every other one is exactly that. It's so hard to be heard. Even if you're a good person, no intention of spamming, you really do have something good to share. Very hard to be heard. You're going to love this line. Above the Twitter.
Oh, I like that.
Don't you love it?
Yeah, above the Twitter. That's clever.
I thought that was very clever.
I'm working on a blog called Twit or Tweet, which is...
Oh, that's adorable.
Tells me that
that's
you're telling
really
me that you had bacon this morning, or are you giving me something worthwhile?
You know, at first, and it depends who you're talking to, too. So we really need to identify our communities and what they want from us. We're talking about social media for business. If I did a friendship social media, maybe I would have a little pet name for myself so people could join.
Yeah.
But I really wanted them to know how my day was going, or how my little trip was going, or were we enjoying the zoo? Okay, fun. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, that kind of community, right?
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
That should be one community. Yeah, your personal community that's private, like you said. Then there should
be your...
Pardon me?
A persona.
A persona, okay.
Yeah, because in real life, you have different personas. When you're at work, you're one type of person. When you're hanging around with the kids, you're another. When you're at your church group, you're kind of another.
Mm-hmm. So thou shalt not commingle. I know we have your do's and don'ts. We got to get a don't commingle, different personas, right? Because
okay.
That's really what... Number 11, but it's probably number one now. So
yes,
why don't we
is.
Talk a little bit about, do you want to start with the do's? What are some things... Now, you are the expert. You are the expert. You are the author of the social media Bible. Seriously, this thing
Thank
is
you.
Thick. This thing is as big as a Bible. I'm not telling you. It's gorgeous, too, by the way. And
thank you.
Yeah, it's focusing on business success. So, in that regard, in that you've spent probably a good deal of your life writing this, you know, at least a couple of years getting the book ready and up to date and the latest, and I know you're continuing to do more and more research and stay in touch with all the business giants as they're emerging new strategies, and you yourself are in the process of always exploring and developing new strategies that work. Let's talk about the do's. What is it now? If somebody says, I got to get my social media on, got to get going in this area, right? What would you say to do right now?
Yeah, and I'm really glad that you talked a little bit about the book, because the 844 pages, it took a long time to write, and it was really
a
project of passion.
That is a lot. 844 pages, and I know, I'm a writer myself, is huge, a labor of love for you. Just the editing process, getting it ready to submit to the publisher, is amazing. So you really know your topic in depth. And I'd love to get your feelings about the future, and really ways that you would want social media. You have a relationship with social media that the rest of us may not. We're users of it. You are a developer of it. You're a commentator on it. You're a person who's positioning it to the world and saying, here is social media to help you guys be more successful in your lives in many areas and stay in touch and build relationships. All these great things that we all want for ourselves.
Yeah.
So you're invested in it emotionally, too.
Well, you know, I really am, and I really appreciate the fact that you understand that I do this because I just love helping people, and it was one of the coolest things that I ever found for my businesses. So that's what kind of got me started sharing it. And I'm a little bit nervous using the word expert because, as you also mentioned, I'm learning, and I'm exploring, and I'm finding out new things every single day.
Right.
So, and what I warn people is that if someone approaches you and says that they're a social media expert, they're also not telling the truth.
You know, you're right. There's so many. I get an every other email is come to my social media expert forum or whatever. How many people have really mastered it to the degree? It's just another model that people are trying out. So you want to look behind the surface. Who is the expert or who's sharing the information? And then also be open to just gleaning what you can from them. And let's see what their point of view is. So I'm okay with that, but it's right. An expert is sort of an act in motion right now, being an expert. It's a growth situation.
That's right. I'm looking at it as kind of a red flag.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
If that's how they're selling themselves, then they can't. Because, again, yeah, I wrote the book on it, but I'm not an expert. I just know more than most people, but I don't know everything. And that's why we have these kinds of conversations. So, yeah, I created something called the Ten Commandments of Social Media, and it's just the 10 most important things that you need to do to start to understand, to see some of the kind of feedback, to get a rate of return on investment, and really they're kind of simple. I mean, the first one is, and each one of these can be a one-hour conversation, and I'd love to explore that with you.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is blog. Everybody needs to go and try a blog. It's really simple. It's as easy as creating a half of a Word document, and the tools are the same. And instead of hitting save, you hit publish. And the most important thing about blogs is that's what creates an environment to open up two-way communication with your customers and, most importantly, your prospects, where you can put an idea out, you can hear what they have to say, and it helps you better position your product or your service, because who better understands your product and service than the people who buy it? And we've never thought about that in conventional media in the past. The second thing is to go and create profiles. I get the question all the time, should I be on LinkedIn? Is Facebook really the best place to be? Is MySpace any use at all to a company? The answer is yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, you know, whether it's going to survive or continue to grow, you know what? They got over 200 million members. And to put it in perspective, if you looked at the membership of Facebook, that's a greater population than Japan, Nigeria, and Russia. So we're talking huge numbers. So if the number of new members are declining, it's because there's a finite number of people in the world. So
only so many can actually sign up before you would get a normal decline, right? Of course.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It's interesting.
Yeah, so go get your profiles, get them on MySpace and Facebook. Even if you don't think MySpace is good for business, and if you decide that you don't want to do that, please send me an email, say that you're not going to do that for your business, because I'm going to go get your personal profile, your company profile, and your group name. That way, a couple of years from now, when you figure out that there really is value in having, I'll sell them back to you.
Mm.
Fiber squatting. So
yeah.
Get it now before someone else grabs it. And then number three, upload photographs. Go to Flickr. Create a free account. You got photographs. You got photographs of your customers. They're smiling. They're happy. Your employees, get them smiling and happy. You got events. You got conferences. Put them all up on the internet. When your customers and your prospects are searching because they happen to like Flickr and they're searching for your product, your type of service, if you're not there and your competition is, you're not in the game. You didn't win. And it doesn't cost anything.
Mm-hmm. Great point. Beautiful.
And then number four, do the exact same thing with video. Mm-hmm. You have video. There's video laying around. It's all digital. Whether it's an installation video, a party video. Don't put the video up where your president's at the Christmas party and he's wearing the lampshade and he's drunk.
Oh,
that's
gosh,
not
yes. Isn't that funny? But yes, don't do that one. Or hope that no one else does that one. That's another conversation right there.
It is, yeah, the appropriate information to put on these different sites. But get your video up there. An example, I have about 90 videos on YouTube, and recently I was contacted by someone from the Netherlands who is going to pay me to make a presentation in the Netherlands. I get $10,000. So So where's the ROI? Well, I put free videos on YouTube, and I've got my first of my $10,000 checks. So that's a good ROI for any company.
Mm-hmm.
And then
well,
number five
wonderful.
Is podcast.
Pardon
podcast,
me?
Just like we're number five is create podcast, just like we're doing right now.
Sure.
This audio is going to be recorded. It's going to be available mm-hmm. from the Annie Jennings PR website.
Mm-hmm.
And it has something called a long tail.
Mm-hmm.
You'll put it up, and a year and a half from now, people will still benefit from the content of these podcasts. That means that they're going to follow you. They're going to come to your website more often. They're going to find out what other valuable information you have on this subject matter. And then when they're ready, they'll simply choose you because you're the best.
Yes, and yes, and yes.
So and
you know
what does it cost?
You know why this is true? This is called the be everywhere at all times. We have to just
yes.
level the playing field. Give no one an advantage over you. Yes, I am a tough businesswoman. I'm a visionary. I am totally sensitive to the world's plight, but I'm also a very strong entrepreneur. And be everywhere at all times. I believe in free enterprise, and I believe everyone should be making more money than they can spend, but doing it in a way of the highest integrity by offering services and products that simply are number one in their marketplace. It's the best business model in the world. It works. You don't have to be spamming anyone because the business is knocking on your door, okay? However,
based on my personal experience, by the way, with Annie Jennings PR, that everything that you said is absolutely true, which is why I love working with you, which is why I'm here today, because of your integrity and the way you do business.
Well, thank you very much. See that, guys? He's one of our former clients. We did a wonderful radio campaign, and Lon, you were very, very successful. And I want to thank you. And you were our ideal client, too, because ideal clients are the ones, by the way, that are willing to be in the conversation, willing to be in the conversation going on in the national marketplace, in the national news, and in our society today. Lon was willing to reach out and tell people what they really needed to know to be successful using social media. And you know what the nice part about it is, and here's the key to everyone's success, is it's not all about you. It's about the message. It's about the passion. Now, when people hear you, the deliverer, and Lon in your case, sharing messages, wanting them to do well, wanting to say do's and don'ts, wanting them not to make mistakes and make bad choices, and you're rooting for their success. I want you to be successful. I want you to make $1 million off this. I want you to. They fall in love with you, and therefore, hence, you don't have to sell anyone anything. They become buyers on their own free will because, yeah, you're speaking their language. Success for them.
Absolutely.
It's quite a turnaround from the marketing of all, it's all about me strategy.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I hope it emerges.
There's three key words that really translates to conventional media, which you really completely understand and practice, and that's transparency, authenticity, and sincerity. It has to be in everything that you do in social media, and again, you've taken it to an art form over to conventional media, which most companies really don't understand. Be authentic, be transparent, be sincere.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. All right. Now, oh, I like this next one. And I do. I have you set for, are you talking Google Alerts? Number six is set Google. Well, you say set alerts. Do you mean Google?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I call it cyber surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to talk about you whether you like it or not. People are talking about you. It's not just the schizophrenia talking. The meds have got that under control. But
that's funny.
Wouldn't you want to know if your customers or your prospective customers
sure.
are having a conversation about you?
Absolutely.
And they are.
Mm-hmm.
So by going to Google Alerts, all you have to do is type in the name of your company, name of your product, your name, and anytime any web page or any mm-hmm. blog appears on the Internet anywhere in the world, you get a notice and a link within 15 minutes.
Really?
That's
it's
astonishing.
A 15-minute turnaround? That's fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah, the longest time I've seen with blogs has been 30 minutes.
So all you have to do is just go to Google and Google Alerts, and it brings you right
exactly.
to the sign-up page, by the way. So for our listeners who want to get in on the action, do that. Yeah. Oh, I love
Absolutely.
It. And I get yours all the time, so I am set up for Google Alerts for your name. Because when you're our client, we want to know who's talking about you as well. So there you go.
Yeah, I love that. And again, that's that full service
Thank you.
That you provide, is that you don't just kind of hit and run. You gave me incredible radio coverage and conventional press, by the way.
Thank you.
And now you still continually keep an eye on what's going on in my career.
Yeah.
And the thing that I love is that I still get emails from you saying, hey, I just got this on Twitter, or I just got this on Haro, help a reporter out. And you'll say, let's follow up on this.
Yes, exactly. I keep you in mind all the time, believe me. You know, it's very true, though, but it's just the way I can multitask and hold a lot of information in my mind on a lot of different clients. Why? I'm working in my passion. I'm doing what I love. I'm on fire every day. You know, when you're on fire every day, when you're excited and you have adrenaline, just pure fuel, you can do anything all day long for as long as you want.
I get sad when it's 6 o'clock.
You know what? Adrenaline is amazing, and that's the jolt you get when you're working in your passion. Adrenaline, you can ride a bike 75 miles and never feel a thing. That's the power of adrenaline. When you are working, right? And, you know, of course they say you've got to settle down, and the adrenaline is actually eventually, you know, you got to relax, which you do then. Then you relax. But good stress keeps us healthy.
Yeah.
Healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Because you're happy.
Because you're happy. You're thrilled. You're happy. You can't wait to follow your clients and see what's going on. So that's just a good if you're not working in your passion, you know, start working in your passion. And go for making the better business model. Make products clients will buy. Why do clients buy them? Because they work to help them make more money and serve their clients better.
Beautiful.
Kind of all you need to know, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of simple, isn't it?
It's very simple. It's very simple, and I have 5 kids, so I learned how to be simple. Be simple, but get the job done. All right? So I don't need a lot of... We don't here at Annie Jennings PR, we are a direct bullet to the outcome. There's no extra steps. There's no extra models.
No noise.
No extra anything. That's bureaucracy. None of it. We just get the job done.
I love it.
Yeah.
So set those Google alerts and also use something like TweetDeck, for example. TweetDeck is awesome. Anytime anybody twitters or tweets anything about any keywords that you want, instantly you get a copy of that message as well. So anytime someone says something about the social media Bible, the first thing I do is I retweet it because it's something nice, and then I send them a personal message thanking them for tweeting. And what does that do? Well, that certainly encouraged them to tweet more. So it builds this momentum in the Twittersphere. Do the same thing with blogs, by the way, because those Google alerts will pull up your blogs that anybody's mentioned you, and then take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something kind, thank them. Get engaged in the conversation. Tell them why you thought their blog was good. And sign your name to it. Don't ever do anything anonymous. Sign your name. And if it isn't 100% the way you'd like to see the blog written, if they say something that isn't nice or untrue, you've got a right to get involved in that conversation and diffuse any potential bad PR by simply clearing it up and telling the truth.
All right, well, you are just amazing at what you do, with all that you do. I like the blogs. Now, how do people find blogs that are relevant to their topic?
Well, that's pretty cool, and it's real easy to do. Just go to Google, type in whatever keywords you think, you know, best describe what your subject matter is. And then just to the right of the search, you'll see a little drop-down menu where it says Google Maps, shopping. There's a thing that says blogs.
Hmm.
So it will actually segregate blogs out from everything else and give you every blog in the world that's based on your subject matter.
Is there a way to streamline the process of being a blog commentator? I mean, wouldn't it be nice if you get to all the blogs at once? Obviously, can you?
you might be able to
if you set it up.
Well, not that I've found, and because they all reside on different hard drives and they're owned by different people and they all have different rules. Some don't ask you to sign in at all, which I don't
that's
like.
True.
Some require that you sign in. Some of them uses the Ketcha, where you have to put in those really difficult to read letters and numbers.
Oh yeah, that one. Is that what that's called? That's funny. And you can't tell sometimes. Is that an L or a 1?
Yeah. So you
what's
know what you do
F?
Is just guess at it. Guess at it, hit publish, and if it's wrong, it'll give you a fresh one. Maybe that one's easier to read.
Yeah, I see. It's difficult. So let me ask you a question then. Practically speaking, how would you choose? Are you saying we should choose maybe 10 blogs, 20 blogs, 30 blogs?
You know what? I would do it. What I do personally is that I just start out fresh at one point. And my Google alerts come in every single morning. And as I go through my emails, I'll have different Google alerts that said, this blog mentioned something about you, this blog said something about the book, this mentioned mm-hmm. your name. Well, I'll click on each of those links every
Good.
Single morning as mm-hmm. part of my routine of going through my email, and I'll read the blog. And the only differentiator here is that some blogs are what they call scraped. That means that they have an automatic search engine that finds other blogs and simply pulls all of the content and puts it on their blogs because they're trying to generate the traffic. So if I know that it's an article or a blog that I've already commented on and it's been scraped, I probably won't comment on it. But if it's something fresh, then I'll just take the time.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is it almost always just requires your name, your email address, and a web link. So it really only takes a moment to log in. And it doesn't have to be anything long. It could just be a sentence. Hey, I read your blog. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. Let me know if I can help.
That's wonderful. You know, I'd also like to say now that you never know where your next big, big, big opportunity is going to come from. You never know. I have so many success stories, one of which is one of our PhDs on leadership became a contributing columnist to one of our opportunities, and we knew it would be good for him. We just didn't know how good, right? Well, guess what? He's discovered by a huge New York City firm, flies him in for the contract of his dreams. We didn't know it,
my goodness.
Right? And the way he qualified for that columnist, contributing columnist opportunity was by building up his platform with us, was by getting top-notch, the whole thing on radio, the TV,
yes.
the Investor's Business Daily, the big-name brands, right, qualified him for that major internet site to say, we'll take him. We want this guy. He's got a voice.
Yes.
We prove it.
Which, by the way, thank you for getting me Investor's Business Daily.
Of course. No problem. And, but see, that's the whole thing is you never know where you're going to be discovered. You just never know. You've got to be ready at all times, be everywhere at all times. It is working your job is a full-time job. Marketing is a full-time job, which brings me, Lon, I got to ask you this question. Marketing is a full-time job. Let's face it, it is. However, if you are working in your business and you are the consultant, you are the leadership consultant, you are actually performing services for clients, I don't know, does it make sense? I'll give you my answer after you answer. Does it make sense to put together a team of people to help you be everywhere at all times?
You know, I think it really does because, again, social media marketing tools is just an extension of the conventional marketing tools that we've had for the last 50 years. So it doesn't make any sense to say I'm going to do one or the other or I need to do this also. You need to integrate it. Now, building a team, I'll be honest, let me share some of my secrets with you. I didn't have the time to set up profiles all over the world. So I got an intern, and I gave him a password, which I've since changed, but I gave him a password, a username, and I gave him all of the fields. And this guy spent a week just creating profiles for me. That's okay. But I didn't have the time to do that. And I have a woman that works for me kind of on a part-time basis. She's a virtual assistant, and she goes out and finds all of my radio podcasts
mm-hmm.
and then sends me a link so I can comment on them and cross-promote them. So, you know what? It doesn't have to be a team. It could be something as simple as an intern or something as simple as a virtual assistant or just really something as simple as taking some of your existing human resources and say, look, just do a little less of that and do a little more of this. But you do need to participate. As you said earlier, if you're not in the game, you're not going to win.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, so it's quite a challenge to be everywhere at all times. I say streamline it as much as possible and put in the time yourself. There's nothing like having your own finger, you know, on the pulse of what's going on in your industry and then try to get others to just help you. I actually have somebody who's helping me out with Facebook posting our events, right? Our teleseminar events. She'll post all my from Twitter, from Twitter, we go to Facebook with the same content. She'll do that for me. So I'm the originator of the material, of course. But then, you know what? Sometimes it's nice to just send out an email, Facebook this, please. Post my latest teleseminar, please. And you don't have to say that much. They know what they're doing, and you can trust them to do it well. That's a good feeling.
You know what? That leads, It is. It really, and that leads to one of the don'ts and one of the things to be really careful of. What you're doing is perfect. That's exactly what I would recommend to any business, whether it's a one-person business or a Fortune 500. The one of the don'ts that you got to be really careful of is false personas. And that means having someone tweet or blog on your behalf, but not kind of let the world know. And the best example is Chris Brogan. Awesome guy, very heavy into social media. I really love this guy. And Walmart approached him and said, look, we'll pay you $500 to write a blog about your shopping experience at Walmart. Okay, didn't think anything of it, got in, he did it, and his shopping experience was very, very good. And he put that he was actually being paid by Walmart to write this blog. Well, let me tell you, the world went insane and ripped him apart, because what they said was is that you lost your integrity as soon as you cash a check. Well, you know what? The counter argument was, I told you up front, and I was still being sincere, authentic, transparent, because I did tell you, and my shopping experience was good. And if it was bad, I would have said that it was bad. So when you're blogging, when you're tweeting, that really needs to come from you as much as possible. And if it doesn't, then you should make people aware, because people want sincere, authentic, and transparent.
Exactly. Beautifully said. I agree with you. Don't let anyone have your voice speak on your behalf because they don't have the same passion and mission as you. Let's face it. You know, this whole thing about I have these little comments here and there. This whole thing about, you know, make sure your whole company gets your mission statement. You know, that's an interesting conversation. Not many people share my mission statement. It just happens to be mine. My destiny is my own choice. What I'm here for, my expansion of my talents and my soul and my mission here, is different from everyone else who works for me. Everyone has a different expansion model. So although they'll align with my mission statement, think of it this way, businesses are making a mistake with that, making people share your passion. It's just not going to happen. You know, you're the passion behind the business. They can follow directives and, yes, become extensions of what you feel is good policy.
Yes.
Right? But no one's going to buy into your mission in this world. It's you behind it. You're the driver. You're the engine.
Honest to goodness, you know, and here's some gross generalizations. Salespeople are motivated by commissions. They're motivated by money. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. And it's a gross generalization.
Sure.
Not all are. Engineers are motivated about creating crap because they can. I mean, I was an engineer for years, and I made the most incredible, I mean, I have 125 copyrights in Washington. I've got patents, and a lot of that stuff I did because I could, and not because there was a need for it. So now what I find over the last 10 or 15 years, what motivates me is helping other people. If I know something that someone else can benefit by, and I know you share this, that's why I'm sharing it with you.
Thank you.
If you can help other people by doing what you enjoy the most, that's my mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
But some people are motivated by checks. Some people are motivated by doing stuff because they can. Others, because they can help.
And you know what's very interesting, and I think I'll take this moment to say it. I say this, if you need my material, go for it. If you need my business model and sell it as your own, just go for it. Because if I can help you in that way, and I'm speaking to people who basically are not inventors of individual or independent ideas, and they'll use a lot of our models, but present them to the world as their own. They'll even use my name. It's funny, but you know it's true.
Wow.
It's out there. And I say,
I
say, have at it. If you need my name, Annie Jennings, to be successful, then take it with my blessing.
Absolutely.
Now that is generous.
So they will come back to you.
A lot of people will trademark and copyright every thought they have. You know what? My stuff is free for everyone. I've created it so that everyone else can use it and be successful. And if you can turn it into a business model, I say do it and go for it and make it happen for yourself, because I'm instrumental. Remember, we're here for the betterment of all, and is through our clients, Lon, and through those who choose to use my material as their own, that we can help others. I just ask everyone to do it in the spirit of helping others. That's really probably the only thing I could say is, you know, go enjoy, but do it in a great spirit.
Well, then it gets back to integrity, and that's part of why I'm here today.
All right, so we are kind of coming to a wrap. Why don't we keep going, though, and we'll get through these last thou shalt not, the do's, and then we'll run through the don'ts. So you talk about commenting on the multitude of blogs. You're mentioning stay connected with everyone. Tell us a little more.
Well, you know, everybody says, well, how do I build my following? Well, don't just follow everybody who wants to follow you, because they're, most of them nowadays are kind of spammers. But market it the same way you did your web page. Is your Twitter address on your business card? Is it on your website?
Yeah.
Is it on your on-hold message?
Right.
I mean, you need to sell it. You need to let people know that you're out there sharing it.
I love that.
Same thing with your Facebook account or your LinkedIn account. Encourage people to utilize it, because it's all new to people.
So no more screen. If you're running out of room, wait, I have a question for you. If you had just enough room for either your Twitter address and Facebook address or your street address, which would you choose?
I don't use my street address on anything anymore, ever.
Isn't that funny? We don't have to know that anymore.
My,
I agree
my
with
email,
you.
If I my name, if that's all the room I got, here's the priority: my name, my email address, and then I say Google me.
That's good. That's good, because you're obviously Google me reaches you. Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
terrific.
44,500 references on Google.
I know. You're very special. Very special. Yeah. And I want to thank you for everything you've contributed to the social media conversation. You're an important voice. You're right in the center of the action, and I admire you for that, because I know it's not easy. It takes time, passion, dedication, and choice. So we're lucky to have you.
Well, we do it because we enjoy this stuff.
See, there you go. All right. Now, you also mentioned, this is curious, explore social media 30 minutes per week. I say yeah. Let's do that. What do you think?
Why not? Yeah, you know, Friday morning, things are pretty well caught up. You're focused on the weekend. Go get your coffee of choice, lock the office door, and Google the term. Go find out what Google Alerts are, what TweetDeck is, and just give me 30 minutes. And if you do it once a week, honestly, in 60 days, you're going to get comfortable enough that you're going to want to jump into it with both hands. Read some blogs, but just Google it. You know, most people are afraid because they don't understand what it is. And as soon as you understand, well, then you're going to embrace it. That's all I'm asking.
Think about this, guys.
Get comfortable with it.
Have you ever done something that you put off doing and you say, wow, that felt really great. If only I had known it would feel this good, I would have done it sooner. You know?
Exercise is one of them.
I was just thinking that. Exercise. Every time I exercise, I think, remind myself I love this.
Exactly. Not when you start, but when you finish, you feel terrific.
When you finish, you feel great. All right, go for it. Your next do is about being creative.
Yeah, just be creative, because that's what builds viral. Give good what's in it for me. Think about who your audience is. Think about what you're passionate about and what you can share with that audience that's going to benefit them. Always think about it from that perspective. And if you could give them things that will benefit them, they'll keep coming back for more, and they're going to retweet it, they're going to repost it, they're going to comment on it, they're going to get engaged. And that's really what you want. So be creative. The videos that you look at on YouTube or you click on from your email links have good what's in it for me. Most cases, it's humor, but that's okay. That's an endorphin. That's a healthy drug.
True. I love a good laugh.
Everybody does, and that's why the funny videos on YouTube are the most successful, but also the ones providing the best information are the second most successful. So always give a good what's in it for me.
I agree. Well, that's terrific. You said a lot of very wise and experienced things today about social media. Now, we'll go through some don'ts. Let's run through a list of don'ts that really people should stay away from. If you find yourself doing this, it's okay. Remember, everyone's learning. Some of these things were thought to be good strategy initially, but really, when you think about it, hasn't played out that way. So we're just going to go over don'ts, and if you feel yourself you're doing these things, just don't do them anymore, that's all, and do more of what's good and none of what's bad.
That's
the ideal world.
If only you can do that in your life.
Eat only what's good and none of what's bad. I laugh because, you know, we try hard, but it's all right. We can do this thing.
Number one, don't lie about yourself. Don't ever lie. Don't have a false persona. Actually, if you say that you're a stay-at-home mom and you actually work for Walmart and you're blogging out there pretending to be someone else, you can actually go to jail in England for doing that, for having a false persona. And the FCC is actually looking into it right now. They may change the laws. So, you know, be yourself. Be authentic, sincere, transparent. And then number two is don't use someone else's content without giving them credit for it, just as you said earlier. you and I don't mind because we want to help, but it's not the right thing to do.
Somebody called me up once, Lon, and they said, you know what, I'm on your website right now. I'm going to copy and paste all your articles, and I'm going to use them for myself as mine. And I said, well, why are you calling me to tell me you're going to do this? And they said, well, because we want to know if you want to pay us to not do this.
No, I want your address so I know where to serve you.
It was like, no, I said, if you feel you need to do that for your own success, I wish you great success. There you go.
That's probably bigger than I think my answer might have been. I mean, that talk about audacity.
I thought that was audacity. Yeah, they're trying to make a buck by me trying to buy back my own material so they couldn't use it.
Yeah, well, that's blackmail. That's extortion.
Yeah.
Well, don't. And my advice is, don't do that. You know, if they want to use your articles and make themselves look smart because you're a good resource, then do that. Say,
mm-hmm.
Here's somebody that I think is really smart, and link. Because, you know, the truth is, if they link to your article, Google is going to look at the links going back and forth between the two websites, and their website is actually going to get a higher ranking because of link love. They call it link love. So they benefit by linking to your articles rather than stealing them because nobody knows they're there.
That's exactly right. I know. It's a challenge, and hopefully people do start to. My goal is for people to be creative in their true self and expand their own selves and find their own voice. That is what I want for people. So if I can, you know, if we're like a little stepping stone along the way, that's fine. But eventually my message is, please use your own voice. Everyone in this world has their own destiny to unveil, mm-hmm. to play out. They have their own version of what it's like for them to contribute to this world. And I want to see everyone else's voice out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, with the Internet, so many people think that just because it's on the Internet and it's available to the public that it's actually public domain or owned by the public, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's any question for any of the listeners here, I want you to go to Google and type in something called Creative Commons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a new set of rules and guidelines that is specifically set up for the Internet, for tweets, for blogs, that kind of spell out what the rules are. And generally what the rules are, you can use my material, just give me credit for it, please. That's not asking too much.
Right, I agree.
Number three is don't ignore the impact of social media on the brand. Every time I go into a company, they say, what's the ROI? How do I know? If I do Twitter and I spend this amount of time on it, what exactly, how many dollars am I going to make? How many new customers? Well, my question is, first of all, to the CEO or vice president, do you do advertising in trade journals? Well, yes, we do. I said, and you spend quite a bit of money each year? Yes, we do. Okay, well, for each journal, how many new customers do you pick up? And then you get the deer in headlights kind of a look.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, well, any advertising that you do, exactly how many customers do you get?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is no way to determine that. So the reason that Ford and Chevy and McDonald's spends hundreds of millions of dollars each year on primetime television, drive-time radio, is building the brand, getting your customer engaged in the brand. There's no direct ROI, but they wouldn't be spending hundreds of millions and billions of dollars if there wasn't a direct ROI.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. There are ways that you can actually determine, the same as we do in conventional media, by embedding codes and special sales. But really, the best way to measure it is brand recognition. If you're out there four times a day in front of your customers with your company name, you got it,
because
your competitor's not. So don't ignore brand.
I agree. Yeah.
And, number four, don't be afraid of social media and think that it's an animal unto itself. It's another set of marketing tools, just like radio. Do radio advertising if it's right for your demographic. Do trade journals. Do newspaper. But you have to include these new tools, especially because they're free and they're very effective. So don't be afraid. Same thing when you're setting policies. A lot of companies say, well, what do I do if somebody's out there blogging and we're afraid that we're going to get SEC violations, or they're going to get off message, or they're going to share intellectual property? Well, you don't have to create new rules for that. Go back to the rule that no employee is allowed to talk to the media. The media could be television, could be radio, could be a newspaper reporter, or it could be a blog.
Mm-hmm.
Same rules. Everything applies. So don't get scared. It's really still the same.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is don't sell and we've kind of talked about that, especially involved with Twitter. Don't sell. This is about building trust. You wouldn't walk into a business networking group or a cocktail party, walk over to a group, push into it, hand everybody business cards and say, you're a consultant and this is what you do.
That's really funny, but yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, really, just kind of picture what would happen if you did that. Well, the same thing happens in social media. Don't do that. And that's why when we were talking earlier about everybody selling stuff using Twitter, it ticks people off. What you need to do is walk up to a group, listen first.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what the conversation is.
Mm-hmm.
When it's appropriate and you have something of value to add, wait for a pause, simply insert it, and now you are a member of that trusted group. It works the same.
Yeah, that's excellent. All right, don't fail to be personable. Tell us about that mistake.
Well, kind of like what we were saying before, be authentic, be sincere, be transparent, follow your passion. If you're a corporation, don't walk into marketing and say, you're going to do our blog. Well, if they don't like to write, if they aren't social, then that's the worst person you can have being your communicator. So, you know, be personable. Even with big companies, big corporations, when they blog, when they tweet, it's not the company that people are following. It's the individual. And they want to see that personality. They want to see that passion for what they do. That's what builds the trust. And don't be afraid. Don't try to hide it. Because that's, I mean, again, if I was just walking into a group and I'm reading from my brochure, that's a big difference than if I'm talking passionately with you about what I do. So be personable.
Exactly. All right, here we go. Don't leave a comment on a blog post longer than the original post.
Yeah, that one's kind of tongue-in-cheek because I've seen people get out there and they just rant.
It's rant.
Well,
it's ramble. Rant
it's
is
ramble,
one thing,
yeah.
Ramble's another.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's two-way communication. Again, let's get back to the cocktail party. Someone makes a simple statement about politics or any religion or any other inflammatory, and you, for the next 15 minutes, get up on your soapbox and rant. And as soon as you open your eyes at the end of your rant, you'll see that you've cleared the room.
Nobody
cares.
Yeah.
But you do
yeah.
have a right to voice your opinion, and that's the beauty part about social media, is it encourages two-way communication and opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Yeah, short and sweet. We're all learning that with the 140 character limitation on Twitter, we're learning how to say things in a shorter way, more concise, direct.
I love that when I'm asked how can you communicate in 140 characters, and I actually put this in the book. And Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, once said in a correspondence, he says, "I apologize for the length of this correspondence. Given more time, it would have been shorter."
Yes, exactly. I totally hear it. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it forces people to be concise, and it gets rid of the ramble factor.
Exactly, the ramble factor. I agree with you completely. So that's terrific. Now we have don't argue. Wow.
We've heard that for the last 50 years in conventional marketing and media, where if someone comes out with some kind of a slur campaign or something negative, that the best thing to do is not to feed it, but to simply back off. Well, that's not necessarily the case with social media. Social media is set up to give both parties equal opportunity to discuss their point of views. So when you get on a blog, if you don't agree with the blogger, please comment. Absolutely. If I say something that you don't agree with, I welcome another point of view. I'm going to learn from it. My readers are going to learn from it. But don't just complain and whine and argue. You know, have an intelligent rebuttal, and that way everybody benefits from it. But you see, too often people just kind of just say things that aren't very nice.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Stay intelligent.
They really do. I mean, there's very mean people out there.
I'm really
surprised by the level. Yeah. The level of anger and bitterness, you know? Is it really necessary?
Yeah, don't fall into it. And you know what? I don't get very many of them, but if I do, especially inappropriate language, I do hit delete on those. I think I've only had to do it a couple of times because I am completely against censorship. Anything you want to say, I am completely behind it, even if it's an opposing view. That's what makes this country
great. Responsibly mentioned,
yeah.
In a courteous way, sure. Sure.
Yeah, so be respectful.
People don't realize, and here's another thing, you know, I've seen it happen. This is why, part of being a publicist is you've got to be ready for the one media person that's going to be very mean to you. 99.99% of the media people, they want to hear from publicists, they want to hear what you have to offer. And there's the one who just says, you know, why don't you get a real job, that is crushing, crushing blow. All right, where really they're just having a bad day, or they've got other things going on, or they happen to be just a mean person, mean-spirited person overall.
Yeah.
These things you cannot control.
And some think they're going to benefit their career by being edgy and investigative and creating that kind of a persona, but when in the long run it really doesn't work.
Yeah, it's really just a shame. You know, it's just a shame. So there's going to be negative comments. We really have to look at just negativity for what it is. It's just it's about generally about them, or if there is a grain of truth in it. If a journalist, you know, here's a good example. If a journalist gives you a response trying to pitch yourself, but yeah, what's the segment, they say, and you say, well, I don't know, you're supposed to tell me that. They're going to say, no, that's not your job. See, the publicist can hang up feeling like, wow, you know, I just got blown off by the media. But what that journalist said was true. You know, so look for the grain of truth in the negative feedback, and then just realize that you know, you may have to work on those areas, or if it's really negative against you, you just have to try to shake it off and move on.
Absolutely, just you got to toughen up, get a tough skin. Don't take everything personal, and just comment on it. Say, here's the reasons why I think we're talking about a blog. If someone says something, here's why I think that you're completely off base. And here's the truth to all of the negative stuff that you just said. And let's keep the conversation going. Always take the high road. Be respectful, and you'll win in the long run.
I love it. Absolutely. All right, so we have this one we talked about a little earlier. Don't seek followers or friends just to build numbers, because we're starting to realize the numbers don't matter. This is not a numbers game, is it?
Size doesn't matter. That's absolutely true.
It's not a numbers game, yep.
It's not. It's all about, again, David Knorr wrote a book, Social Economics, about how 10% of your followers are really useful, and the other 90% are just there either to spam you or they're just trying to build their numbers. So relationship economics, that's what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so definitely don't just follow people because you want those numbers to be large, because really it's the value of the network, not the size of the network.
All right, this is a good one. This is our last point we're going to discuss, and you talk about, here's a don't. Don't do social media for business branding without a strategy. or what happens?
You sell the most. Well, you screw up. First of all, it's very ineffective. So you don't get any real good ROI out of it, you don't get good branding out of it, and you've wasted your time and your resources.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, let's talk about strategy. All right, now here's my Annie Jennings PR Twitter strategy, is that I, of course, learned along the way, too, and I realized that really the best thing for me to do is try to be helpful and try to help my clients also get exposure on Twitter, and try to showcase what I can really do for you. So we do a making dreams come true business model. Whereas when we're getting our clients booked, I will comment on that watch for so-and-so, congratulations to so-and-so for being on the following show. I'll also comment what it's like for me to be in the creative process, you know, generally in the morning, so people can get we're excited. Before business hours here, this place is buzzing. Because, you know what, we're all ready to go. We're fired up. We know the stories of the day. We have the plan. We're, like, going. That's the most exciting time for me. And sometimes I'll Twitter at that point and say, we're at the gate. We're at the opening gate. We're charged. We're ready to go. We know the segments. This is what it's like for us.
If you're not fired with passion, you should be.
That's right. That's all right. I agree.
Fired with passion.
Yeah, exactly. Fired with passion. All right. Well, see, that's the whole thing. So a personal look into who I am. Okay. People do think that I'm all work and no play, and I got to tell you, my work is my play. So, in a way, you're right. In a way, you're wrong. I said, don't you ever like take time for yourself? I said, yeah, every minute is for myself.
Sure.
That's what happens.
That's how you're growing.
Well, and it's when you're in your self-expansion model. Self-expansion is when you're really opening up to the reason you are here. You know, people say there's a reason that happened. There's a reason we are here. We are here for the betterment of others,
and
as well as the expansion of ourselves. Expression, self-expression.
Find it and pursue it. That's right. Yep.
Well,
find what that passion is and pursue it.
What is your? Let's just wrap with if you would like to share your Twitter strategy. That might be nice. What is it that you would like your followers, you know, to take away, or what's the impression you would like them to have? Because remember, you kind of only have a split second now to make an impression with Twitter, because everybody who's following you is also following 12,000 other people.
Yeah,
so let's
say
they see your tweet. What is it you want them to, what impression do you want to make?
Well, the most important thing is to give, again, I'm going to say it again, and I'll say it always, is give them a good what's in it for me.
Okay.
I mean, I use it for business, and that means to promote me as a speaker, to promote me as a consultant, to come in and help with strategies, and it's about promoting the book.
Mm-hmm.
But if I just did that, no one would ever follow me. So what I try to do in all of my tweets is, I mean, I'll talk about our conversation because they can come and download this podcast shortly, and there's a lot of valuable stuff in here. Or I'll take something out of the book, a statistic, a fact, or some of the interviews that I did with Biz Stone from Twitter and Peter Wiley and Vince Cerf, who invented the Internet, and I'll take some of the stuff that they shared with me, and I'll put that out on Twitter. Because everything that I put out, I try as hard as I can to make sure that somebody says, wow, I could use that piece of information. Wow, I didn't know that. Wow, that's useful. Then people are going to trust you and become part of your network, hence Trusted Network.
It's wonderful. Well, thanks a lot for sharing that. I really appreciate that. And, you know, we'll all try to model your example on. I mean, you're leading by example, which we appreciate. You are one of the top, I won't say experts, investigators, students. We'll call you a student, right? PhD candidate for in social media in the world. So we are going to follow you, and we appreciate you sharing information that you feel can really help us in your Twitter. So what is your address for Twitter?
Mine is real simple. It's just the @ and Lon Safko, LonSafko.
Okay, terrific. So everybody sign up now. It'll be a lot of fun. And, of course, sign up for Annie Jennings or Annie Jennings PR. I do happen to have both, which I'm thankful for. And we have been speaking today with Lon Safko, the author of This is a Very New Hot Book by John Wiley & Sons, one of the major publishers in the business arena. In the internet area, The Social Media Bible, Tactics, Tools, and Strategies for Business Success. So there you go, Lon. It's been wonderful speaking with you today, and I cannot wait for our next time together.
Annie, I look forward to doing this again, and trust me, I look forward to working with you for the rest of my career.
Absolutely fabulous. All right, we'll talk soon. All right, bye-bye now.
Take care.